text of the book of John, chapter 3. An extremely familiar piece of scripture. John chapter 3, and I want to read like verses 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now I'm going to stop there. This is the good news. This is the gospel. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself that he said while he was here on this planet, in person. As they used to say, live and in color. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, because none of the ransom shall ever be lost. That's good words in that song. None of the ransom shall ever be lost. Whosoever lives and believes in him shall never die. That's good news. And that's the words of Christ. That is the word of the Lord. Notice that Christ states that those that believe in the Son of God are those that will not perish. Now, last week I read that verse over there where it said, and this is in John 2, in verse 23, that many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them. They believed in his name, but they didn't believe on him. They didn't believe him. There's a difference. And that's why Christ said, well, it says that John wrote that Christ did not commit himself unto them. Jesus Christ knows man. He knows men. He knows all. And he knew this. Those that believed in his name when they saw the miracles he did, he knew they did not believe him. That's the difference. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, because Jesus Christ has committed himself unto them. Whosoever believes already has everlasting life. Now, we find this in three different places, just in the book of John. It speaks of having everlasting life in the past tense. Actually, the first instance is the last verse of this chapter. John 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Then it's stated again in John 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed, also past tense, from death unto life. The third one is in John 6 and verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. The reason this is spoken of in the past tense, all three of these times, in the scriptures, is because everlasting, eternal life comes first, before anyone believes. Eternal life, true life, comes from the Spirit of God. Christ had just told Nicodemus, just before this, speaking of the Holy Spirit, that the wind blows where it blows, and men don't know where it came from and where it goes. So is everything of the Spirit. The commitment from Christ comes before eternal life. The commitment from Christ was in his choosing his people from the beginning of the world, from before the foundation of the world. Now, that's not my words, that's his. These are the words of the Son of God, whom God gave to his people, whom God sent into this world, which it says in verse 16. If you believe him, you will not perish, because you have everlasting life. It's in that order. You have life from God, life from the Spirit, life where all we had before was death. There's a reason we use the words, we were dead alien sinners. And the reason is because at one time, we were dead alien sinners. Jesus Christ, at one time, was an alien to me. I didn't understand anything. Didn't know him. Didn't care to know him, Mason. Didn't know anything about him that was true. Now, I knew a lot of falsehood. And some of that I liked and some of it I didn't. But I knew a lot of falsehood. But I didn't believe him because I didn't know him. And I didn't know him because I was dead. Walter's been reading it from Corinthians. The natural man cannot know anything of the spiritual things. Cannot. God gives eternal life to his chosen people, and those chosen people believe his only begotten Son. Now, this is usually where, in most places, people will stop, because they want to talk about John 3:16. Now, they want to talk about it incorrectly, because when they say, so God so loved the world, well, that means everybody in it. Well, no, he makes a distinction right here. Because Christ didn't stop. He kept teaching. Now men want to stop, and men want to stop where they want to stop so they can say what they want to say to argue against whatever Christ said. Although they won't tell you that part. But however, Christ didn't stop talking here. This wasn't the end of the lesson. God, he says, did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. And he didn't. Christ was sent into the world so that the world would be saved through him, through Christ, and Christ alone. The world was going to be saved. The world has been saved. When he was on the cross and he said, "It is finished," he died, was buried, and rose again, the world was saved. The battle, that battle, was over. Our battle's still coming. But his work was finished. I finished the things that the Father gave me to do. and he meant it. The world was going to be saved. And at this time, the world has been saved. Through Christ, and only through Christ. There are not many ways to God. This might come as a surprise to some people. I doubt it here, but other places. There are not many ways to salvation. The world has been saved by Christ, through Christ, and Christ alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ said it himself, John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't stop there either. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to God the Father, and that is in Christ Jesus the Son. It's not a popular way. No matter how much you will hear on television sets and radios and people wherever they are and in churches all across America and the world, his way is not the popular way. It's not the prosperous way as the world reckons prosperity. It is the way which proclaims God up to the heights and man down to the depths. That's why it's not popular. It's not the popular way. It's the only way. It's Christ's way or it's no way. Who said that? Christ did. Matthew 7:14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There is a popular way, Walter. It's called, I think in the scriptures they call it the broad way. It's very popular. It's very populated. But it doesn't go where most people on it think it goes. It leads to destruction. Absolute and utter ruin. But those on that way don't see it. They think they're on the way. They think they have the answers. And they have some answers. But the answers they've got are wrong. This is where, Walter, I put those guys that came to Christ in the end times and said, Lord, we've done many wonderful things in your name. Preached in your name. And that's a scary thought, me standing up here and somebody saying that to him. But he looks at me and says, apart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. They were in the broad way. They thought they were on his way, but they were on the broad way. But it leads to destruction. They missed the straight gate and the narrow way because they missed the way, the truth, and the life. They missed Christ. I never knew you. Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. They missed it. Now it does state that Christ did not come to condemn, but the reason it states that is because he did not have to come to condemn. Those that believe him are not condemned, but... And that's actually in the scripture. But, now you're going to hear something different. Those that believe not are already condemned. Condemnation was already in the world. It didn't need to come. It was here. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to call sinners, not righteous people, sinners to repentance. He came to save his people from their sins. They're already his people. And the condemnation is already here. Christ came to save his people from their sins. He came to give eternal life to as many as the Father had already given him. If you believe him, you're not condemned because you already have eternal life. If you believe not, you're condemned already. And you may not even know it. Well, chances are you don't know it. Because I didn't know it till he showed it to me. And he didn't show it to me until he gave me life. I might have been told it, but I was too dumb to learn it. The condemnation is in the world already, and this is it. Why? Because Christ said it. And this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Men love darkness. Men hate the light, and because they hate the light, they ain't coming to the light. And because they hate the light, they're not coming to him who is the light. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't get it. The darkness comprehended it not. It makes no sense to them. And this is what you can't explain to people. Well, you can, but they won't get it. Because it doesn't make sense to them. If I believe that, I'd do whatever I want. No, if you believe that, you try not to do everything you want. If you believed it. Because if you believe that, you might believe him. And if you believe him, you're going to try not to do a lot of things. You may be more successful on some things than others. You may not be successful at all some days, it seems like. But if you believed him, you're going to try to be like the light. You're going to try to be like him. You're going to try to love him and obey him. But the people in darkness, I'm going to tell you something. You go from a dark, dark, dark room, black darkness. You come to the light. I'm going to tell you something. It hurts your eyes. And people blink. And people, your eyes will tear up. And people in darkness don't come to the light. They don't get it. They don't want it. It hurts. Because the truth does hurt sometimes. And besides that, they love darkness. Because that's where they are, and that's what they know, and that's what they want. The light shines in, and they can't see. They won't have it. They'll turn from it, and they'll try and hide from it. And if you speak too much of the light, people will hide from you. They will. One of the reasons I get along so well with my family now is we don't talk about God. Because it led to some arguments before and probably some hurt feelings. And of course, I wasn't exactly the gentlest person in the world at that time. I'm a lot better now. But we just don't talk about it. Those in darkness will hide from the light. They'll stay as far away from it as it. They'll go to what they think is the light. They'll go to what they think is light but they won't come to Christ. They won't hear the truth of Christ. This condemnation is already in the world. Men hate the light. They hate the light that came into the world. They hate the way, the truth, and the life also. Now, thankfully, Christ didn't stop there. It says, he that does truth comes to the light. He that does truth loves the light, recognizes the light, and comes to it. Those that come to the light have eternal life. They love the light of the world. That's Christ. They love the way, the truth, and the life. Those that do truth, those that believe the Son of God, come to the light. Matter of fact, they don't want to be anywhere else. They don't ever want to leave the light. Now, you might leave a place. You might leave your family. You might have to move. But you don't ever want to leave the light. You don't ever want to leave Christ. This part of the thing that really makes absolutely no sense. If you know Christ, if you believe Christ, the blessed doctrine of backsliding makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. It makes no sense. Because those that know the light, those that know Christ, come to the light. And they want to stay in the light. Now they may fail. They may stumble. They might fall. But they are never, ever utterly cast down. Ever. They don't even want to leave the light. They want to see Him. They want to believe Him. They want to trust Him. And believers want to love Him. And believers do. They see Him. They believe Him. They trust Him. And they love Him. Now, we're not perfect at it. They're not perfect at it. Sometimes, some days, it seems like I'm not very good at it. But believers do truth. They love the truth. And we attempt to do the truth all the time. It's just we're not very good at it. These deeds are done. Whatever they are. And however haltingly and however imperfectly this truth is done, it is done. And the reason for it is given right here. And I'm going to read it to you. Well, here, I just wrote, these deeds are made manifest. They're made manifest that they are wrought in God. That's why believers do the truth. They do truth. John 3:21, this is from Young's little translation. I like this, the way he wrote it. It says, but he who is doing the truth doth come to the light, that his works may be made manifested, that in God they are having been wrought. It's God's work. It's not my work. It's not your work. It's God's work. You know who said that again? Christ. In the book of John again. This is the work of God. That you believe in Him whom the Father has sent. That takes the work of God to do. To believe Him. It takes the work of God. It is the work of God. And he that believeth not is condemned already. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent. If you believe, it's because it was made manifested that it was, that they are wrought in God. It was the labor of God. It was the work of God. Because it is God that worketh both in you both to the will and to do of his good pleasure. And I'm going to tell you something. It's his good pleasure that you believe his son. That's one of them spiritual things, Walter. That the natural man doesn't get. And the natural man doesn't want. Because he hates it. I still see, it's rarer anymore, but every now and then I'll still see them goofy posters up to John 3:16 at ball games. You don't see them nowhere. You see them all the time. You don't ever see John 3:18 up there, John 3:21, or John 3:20. It's just John 3:16. You don't ever see a poster up there saying, you know, if you believe not, you're condemned already. See, they think that's bad news. It's part of the gospel. It's part of the good news that some are condemned already. It's still good news that God gives life, gives faith, and we believe. But this is also part of it. There's a whole story. Christ said it all. We're not making this stuff up. Christ said it all. If you believe, you have everlasting life. If you don't believe, you're condemned already. And that's the world. That's the truth that this world doesn't want and will not have. And you can't give it to them. You can tell them about it, but you can't give it to them. It takes an act of God. And he'll act when he wants to. And he'll act where he wants to. And he'll act whether somebody likes it or not. But they will like it. They'll come to love it. They'll come to cherish it. They'll come to love him. They'll come to believe him, because that too is the work of God. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this place and this time. And Lord, thank you for our Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and gave himself a ransom for our souls, for the souls of his people. He took upon him on that tree all of their sins and suffered the penalty, purged them so that his people would never suffer the penalty of their sins. Thank you. In his name we ask. Amen.